Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello and welcome to another TalkSport Daily podcast with me, your TalkSport Daily podcast host, Andy Goldstein. And of course, also the host of the Andy Goldstein Sports Bar Monday, Thursday. And at the moment, I'm on drive time for one more day, Friday, in case you're wondering, from 4 p.m. Anyway, a busy podcast coming up, so let's jump straight to it. We can hear firstly from John Hartson. He was talking with Jim White and Natalie Sawyer.
This very weekend, actually, Natalie, I don't think I mentioned this to you, John Hartson's foundation is going to go through the £1 million mark in terms of funds raised, and I'm going up there and I'll be on stage with him as we do a big, big night for the foundation, raising more money for research into cancer. And it's something that means so, so much to John Hartson, following his own very personal battle, a battle at some stages he didn't think he might win. And this gets a bit emotional. And John, if you are listening this morning, I think you are, I'm really thrilled that you did this with me. Have a listen to this.
Well, I started to get ridiculous headaches, Jim, really. Not just your normal headache where you can take a couple of paracetamol and it goes. You know, I can remember taking a whole pack of paracetamol in Dublin Airport. I was coming back from a charity event, and I got home and I just felt terribly, I felt absolutely awful within myself. And then obviously I went to get a diagnosis, and then I found out that I'd had testicular cancer that spread to my lungs and onto my brain. I think the story has been out there several times since. I spent 6 weeks literally battling for my life in and out of theatre, the operating theatre, and then I had a big sort of issue when I came out of hospital. It wasn't an issue, it was a program that I had to follow in terms of getting myself back to full strength, a chemotherapy program I had to follow, which I did rigorously, and you know, through the grace of God, I was managed to come through that. And it was about a year later that I decided to set up the John Hartson Foundation, because, you know, they did so much for me in the hospital. They pulled out all the stops for me. And how do you thank somebody who's just saved your life? Well, you can't really. So I thought, well, by setting up the charity and giving something back that way, using my profile, if you like, to fill out events and golf days and walking up Ben Nevis, which we've done 5 times in the last 9 years. And obviously you're hosting our ball, which we have an annual ball in Glasgow.
Looking forward to that on Saturday.
That'll be brilliant. We've got a full house, Jim. It'd be fantastic.
You've raised over $1 million.
We go over $1 million on Saturday, which is phenomenal amounts, really, and it's overwhelming the amount of support that we get.
Yeah, but it shows you how popular you are. I mean, you're loved by Celtic fans worldwide. I remember, of course, you almost went to Rangers.
Yes.
Now, in a curious twist, you then end up at Celtic Park. What was it? It didn't go through at Rangers because there was a problem with it, the medical, if I remember rightly. But Rangers' loss was Celtic's gain, enormously.
Well, it was amazing, really, what happened. I was flown in on Sir David Murray's private jet from Cardiff into Glasgow. I was signing for Glasgow Rangers. I'd agreed all terms. I was signing for £6.5 million. Oof. Signing on the same day as Ronald Laborde in the year 2000. So we're talking 20 years ago. I was going there for £6 million. And the medical came back and there was an issue with my knee. I was basically sent away, back down to Cardiff. Not really a big explanation, to be honest with you. And then 3 months later, they signed Tory Andrew Flo for $13.2 million. So they were getting me for six, you know. But I know 6 months later, Martin O'Neill picked up the phone to me and said to me, you know, that Rangers' loss is our gain, John. Unless you've got a hole in your heart, I'm going to sign you. And next thing, I was up to Glasgow and I was signing for Celtic. And the rest is history. I had five wonderful seasons at Celtic. Played in a wonderful team with some great, great players under Martin O'Neill. And, you know, it turned my football career around, really, because I'd had 2 years at Arsenal, 2 years at West Ham, a little spell at Wimbledon, Coventry. But going to Celtic, you know, I found my home there. I had 5 years there. Loved Glasgow. I now live in Edinburgh, which is a fantastic part of the world. And, you know, I embraced it. I embraced the Scots, and they now supported me with my charity, which is great.
Is there ever a day goes by that you don't thank your lucky stars that you're still with us? Because at one stage, John, I was wondering and I was praying, I was hoping, dear God, no. Get him through this.
Well, Jim, I go about my life now. I try and do my work. I try and do it to the best of my ability. And I look after my family. I look after my children and my wife. And that's the most important thing to me.
Yeah, you're valued by so many people. I do hope you know that. And on Saturday, when I'm in Glasgow with you, it'd be an absolute honour and privilege to share the stage with you. And I sincerely mean that, because I think of moments in my career, and you've been part of it, and I loved watching you play. And by God, you could play John Hartson.
Oh, thank you, Jim.
Now we can cross over to Drive Time. Strange old caller on the show, a Liverpool fan who wants Liverpool to be its own country.
I just want to say why Liverpool supporters don't support England. It goes back hundreds of years when the majority of people in Liverpool have an immigrant background, predominantly Irish, so we class ourselves more Celtic than English. And that's why people say, you know, Liverpool is the capital of Ireland. And that's why people in Liverpool class themselves as Scouse and not English. And we don't look at ourselves as being English. And that's why people like Jamie Carragher said those things. And that's what you find most Liverpool supporters think.
But you live in England, mate.
I don't live in England. I live in Liverpool. And I'm a Scouser.
What country is Liverpool in?
I don't care. It's just connected.
No. Of course you do, mate.
What country is it in, John?
No.
What passport you got?
I live in Liverpool and I'm a Scouser. I don't class myself as being English.
But John, calm down. Don't shout. It's a serious question. What country is Liverpool in your mind? I'm curious.
It's attached to England.
It's attached to it? Is it in it?
It's like Scotland, attached to England. It's part of Great Britain. They want to be independent. If we were big enough, we'd be independent. We'd have our own free Republic of Liverpool.
Who do you cheer on at the World Cup, John?
What you see in England games... You see small town England, little places,
John,
little towns, little
like
villages.
Leeds.
You don't see big cities.
John, who do you cheer on at the World Cup?
I don't cheer England on.
No, that's not why. No, John, listen. Who do you cheer on at
World Cup? I follow international football.
You don't?
No. Okay. It's crap. Like Jose Mourinho.
John,
said.
You sound very angry. John, why are you so angry with life?
We're Scouse. We're not English. Okay.
We can head now to what was the breakfast show with Laura Woods and Steve Harmison, who had Jamie O'Hara on the show. And this is Jamie O'Hara and Laura Woods and Steve Harmison, who are alongside Jamie O'Hara on the show, playing player roulette on the show with Laura Woods and Steve Harmison.
Black 32, Harry Redknapp.
That's classic. Harry Redknapp. Well, I've got a few stories on Harry, to be fair. The first one would be, I remember when we was at Tottenham, we'd all organised a Christmas party. And Harry Redknapp was not, you know, he hated Christmas parties.
Really?
Hated them. He was really against them all.
Why? Because they were a distraction or something?
Yeah, he just didn't like them. It was a busy time of the year. But what happened was that Robbie Keane had organised this big event in Dublin. We'd all gone out there. We all went. And before Harry even knew what was going on, we'd had the Christmas party and we were back, trained on the Monday. Harry pulled us all in the Monday afternoon and said, boys, I'm just letting yous know, I don't want any of yous on a Christmas party, not knowing that we'd already gone. So on the Tuesday, the Sun paper comes out.
Oh, no.
Everyone's on the back of it, falling out of nightclubs. Harry Redknapp goes absolutely mental, absolutely gives everyone the hairdryer treatment. And let me tell you, none of us played that weekend.
Technically, you haven't broken any rules because you'd already been.
We'd already been, yeah. But he didn't like it. He'd done another one as well, Harry, to be fair, it's a good one. I was playing in a game. I was a young kid. And I told all the boys that I was on this big contract and all that. And and Harry goes, he pulled him in with playing rubbish. He pulled us in and he pointed to me and all the boys in there, Crouchy, Keno, Huddleston, all that. Look at him, O'Hara. He's running around. He's giving everything. He's only on $5,000 a week. And all the boys start laughing. And he walked out and Harry walks out and all the boys start going, you told us you was on 15.
All right, let's give it another spin then.
Red 16, Dimitar Berbatov.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Oh, God. I mean, I was never a big fan of him. He was a fantastic player. He never said hello to anyone in the morning. Never shook anyone's hand. And then when we were talking about arrogance earlier, he was so arrogant. I mean, we was training once. I was a young kid and I was really busy flying around into tackles. He was on my team in a five-a-side and he was just talking about how good he is, really. I'm screaming. I've made an overlap, gone past him. He can't see me. He's got the ball. He's not facing the game. He's not facing the play. I'm screaming. I've made an overlap. Berber, give it to me. Give me the ball. And out of nowhere, he hits one outside of his boot, left foot, over about four players' head, touch straight to me. And I was like, I've turned around and gone, how did he even see me? He come up to me, put his arm around me and went, hey, you don't need to call my name, I see you.
And was he the Terminator? Yeah. Okay, here we go, another spin, please.
Green Zero, David Bentley.
David Bentley. I mean, probably one of the best characters in football, with so many stories I could say about Dave, but they're probably not good for radio. The only one I've really got on Dave is it was snowing. We had a training ground at Spurs. It was snowing. And I think Jermaine Genius or someone, they all ganged up on Woodgate and all that and were pelting him with snowballs. Oh. Proper hammered him. But what he did was, after training, he walked off, and before going into the change room, I think he went to Jermaine Genius's car and built a snowman and put it on his front seat. So when Jermaine went to his car, he's opening his door and he's got a big snowman sat in his front seat melting in his Range Rover.
Was it a nice car as well?
It was a proper motor, yeah.
I'm Alan Brazil and this is TalkSport Daily.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help. With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Staying with breakfast, Mick McCarthy was responding to a David Connolly story about him having his breakfast. Oh, no. Oh, talking about it on breakfast. I get it.
David Connolly played under you at Ireland during your first stint as manager. Last night you told TalkSport this specific story, wanted to play it out to you about the night you stayed over at his.
He came to watch me in Holland, and I was only, I don't know, kid or whatever. And at the end of the game, right, thanks, Mick, you know, see you soon, you know. And he's like, where are you going now? I said, oh, I'm going home. But could I stay at yours? You want to stay at mine? At my house? He was like, well, yeah, I've got a hotel, but... I was like, well, if you want to. So quickly got home. I was with my wife, and I was like, Mick McCarthy wants to stay here. Can you go and tidy up? Because we've got a wasp nest upstairs. I said, well, you better go and hoover them all up pretty quick. So Mick came in, and I tell you what, he made himself right at home. Mm. He sat down in the chair, got the remote, and it was about 11 o'clock. And after 11 o'clock in Holland, you know, they had a cable, Canal Plus. Well, he turned it on. His eyes nearly came out of his head because after 11 o'clock, it can get a bit racy. Bloody hell, Dave. What is it? I was like, oh, my God, this is a disaster. He's here watching, you know, things he shouldn't be seeing. He's going to be stung in the morning. Mm. He'll never come back.
Well, I hadn't heard that story until just now. Wow. I imagine you turned the TV off, Mick.
Well, the reason I asked to stay is because I heard he's got a good collection of movies in his house. That's why I asked to stay.
Was he a good host? Did they look after you that night?
They did look after me, yes. I was a bit worried about the content that was on his television, actually. I went straight to bed and I left him to it.
So you did.
I was looking for football. I got something completely different.
A late David McGoldrick header rescued a point for the Republic of Ireland in Euro 2020 qualifying. It meant they shared the points with Switzerland, with the game finishing one apiece in Dublin. Mick McCarthy's men are just 3 points clear of Denmark after five matches.
We can head back to Jim White, who had Glenn Johnson on the show. And this is Glenn Johnson, or GJ, as is... No, no one's ever called him that. Anyway, this is him explaining why he stands by his Berahino comments.
I know the man code in a dressing room better than anyone, and anyone that I've shared a dressing room with will know that. So if somebody asks you a question, I'm going to give an honest answer. It's as simple as that. So no, I don't regret a single word I said. The ones that are saying that it's negative, it's this, I'm trying to ruin careers or whatever, what am I going to gain out of that? I couldn't care less. I was asked a question. Mm. I gave my opinion. I've had many people that were in the same dressing room backing it up. So I know I was correct, and nothing to prove to anyone. I don't need to make a career of anything or ruin anyone's career. It's not in my DNA to do that.
Back now to Drive with Goffey and me, of course, and this is me and Goffey talking about cricket. Actually, it's Goffey talking about cricket and me just nodding and every so often going, I agree.
With Jofra Archer, we're just going to remember, it is only his third test match. The first one, he bowled with terrific pace. I thought the second one at Headingley in the first innings, he bowled with terrific skill. This third one, he's not like looked at the races. But you've got to remember, he's been thrust into the spotlight by being allowed to play at the World Cup, bowling that final over, picked for England, getting 5-4, bowling at 95 miles an hour in a test match. The ECB want their bit out of him. He's the golden poster boy at the moment. His agent's probably thinking, he's piling in the personal appearances. And when we went to Edinburgh the other day, we talked about Drive. We got up there. We didn't get up there until 3. England finished training at 12. He was still there doing interviews. So what we're going to do is say, yeah, we all want a piece of Jofra Archer, but let him just play cricket for now. There's plenty of time. He's going to get a £1 million contract with the ECB at the end of September. So he doesn't need to cram in all these personal experiences. It's not like somebody who's just been on Big Brother or on Love Island, where they have to get as many appearances as they possibly can in 3 months before they forget who he is. He's going to be around for the next 10 years. Should be around for the next 10 years.
My first Ashes experience was Goffey. We 2002, over to Australia. We played in Perth, warm-up game, thinking, right, I've got a chance here of getting into the England side. First test match, Brisbane, here we go. And then you look, I remember going back into the dressing room and all hell broke loose. Nasser Hussain wasn't happy because England took 5 players who were injured. One of them was our premier fast bowler in Darren Goff. He is my hero. And I was like, I'm going to possibly make my England debut with my hero, Darren Goff. And then we get to Perth and we are basically losing against the pub side. And Nasser's just, he's very volatile, Nasser, when he was captain, and he went off on one. Starts shouting at Goffey because he wasn't fit. Goffey shouting at Nasser because, why did you bring me if I'm not fit? It was like a sketch off Punch and Judy. Nasser's throwing his bat, his gloves and everything at Goffey, calling him all the names under the sun. Goffey's throwing his boots back at Nasser, calling Nasser all the names under the sun. And I'm sitting there as a 22, 23-year-old thinking, I'm going to play my first test match against Australia. The England captain and my hero, England's premier fast bowler, are now throwing kit at each other. And in 3 weeks' time, we're going to have to play against one of the greatest teams of all time in their back garden. We got beat 4-1. Goffey was home before the first test. And that was my first ever Ashes experience.
Staying with breakfast, and a former special services soldier, Ant Middleton, was on the show.
The fear bubble is about exposing fear. A lot of people, they experience fear once in their life and they don't go near it. It's like a dirty word, right? They're like, it glues them to the ground. Where I've been forced to expose fear on a daily basis, especially on operations, especially climbing Mount Everest. Whatever I decide to do is quite risky. So it's just that exposure of fear that you start to understand about it. And then you start to understand, fear is an emotion, you start to understand about the emotion, you start to understand about yourself, therefore you become a better version of yourself. So it's about just getting out there and challenging fear. Fear is the number one thing that stops us from achieving everything. And we're incredible human beings, you know, we're so much capable of so much more. And we operate about a quarter of our potential. And I just get frustrated when I see people that have got so much potential, but fear literally stops them in their tracks. I want to grab them by the ears and go, right, you know, just commit, challenge it. It doesn't matter whether you fail or succeed. It's about the journey along the way and what you will learn along the way.
And do you think that's, from a sports point of view, do you think that's a benefit when it comes to fear? Because I sometimes think when you're playing sport, you know, that fear factor of performance, actually what drives you on and makes you better. Is that something that you'd sort of concur with? That,
yeah, 100%.
That makes you a better person because of the fear factor.
Definitely. And people say, Ant, are you fearless? That doesn't exist. No one's fearless. No. It's the fear that actually drives you on. But once you learn to harness it and make it work for you, you can achieve incredible things. And also, it's like fear is like, you know, every time you expose it, you take a layer off. You start to understand. You go, actually, this isn't that bad.
You learn about yourself.
You learn about yourself and you start to use it as a positive energy. It's almost gets you ready. You know, all fear is, I explain it in my book, all fear is your body telling itself to get ready. That's all it is. It's like, get ready, get ready, get ready. And that's what it is. It's the body priming itself to step into the unknown. And a lot of people are fearful of the unknown. But once you learn to use it to your advantage, it becomes an exciting emotion. I get excited when I feel fear. And people say, oh, aren't you an adrenaline junkie? And I'm like, no, I'm not. I've exposed it so many times that I know it better than anyone else. And I know how to use it to my advantage.
Time now to hear a bit of H&J or Paul and Andy or Hawksby and Jacobs. This is them talking about stuff as they do, with words coming out of their mouth. Amazing.
Making a welcome return to the studio is comedian Chris Ramsey. Good to see you, Chris.
Hello, pleasure as always.
Yeah, you like the new gaff, don't
Beautiful
you?
Beautiful new gaff, doesn't smell like teenage boy anymore.
No,
it's nice. It smelled like a teenage boy's changing room. It smelled disgusting and sweaty, and now this is really nice.
It's quite fragrant, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll give it a couple of years.
So you have, we'll turn it into a locker room. There'll be a smell of horse oils and deep heat. There, well, it is a sports station.
Well, that's okay, I suppose.
Don't you think we should pump it in? We should pump in a kind of...
Do they not do a plug-in?
Yeah. That'd be because you want that smell. I mean, they often talk about the withdrawal symptoms that a footballer suffers when they stop playing. If you just put on sort of quite loud R&B at 5 to 3 in your house every day, got friends to come round and say, come on, boys! And just pump some DE in on a plug-in.
That sounds like my idea of hell, but yeah.
It wouldn't work.
No.
Now, so, we're very excited that you're in Strictly, because you could tell by the number of questions we asked you.
Yeah, I thought the interview had already started when I came and sat down.
It's bold, Chris, isn't it? I mean, what made you think, it's something you'd always wanted to do, or just the offer came in?
Honestly, I hadn't even considered it until they asked. It was one of them things. I'm sure in the past I'd probably sort of, you know, thought they'd never really ask me. And I don't know. And I went for a practice dance, and I came out of the practice dance and I was genuinely buzzing. I was like, you know what? I got the bug for it. It was really enjoyable. And I was like, I really want to do this.
So is that kind of an audition? Do they ask you?
It was basically an audition.
So they ask you if you're interested.
Yeah, but I was thinking about this earlier. I don't know what they were looking for.
Yeah.
What was, you know what I mean? What was, yeah, if yeah, I was yeah. terrible, get them on. Yeah. If you're brilliant.
That's right.
Get,
otherwise, like, what, I don't, it so can't
I,
be
I
for,
imagine
for
I
good.
Must have been bad.
Yeah.
Because you're not supposed
well,
to
well,
be
otherwise,
good.
How did Ann Widdicombe and John Sargent get on? If they must have been terrible in audition and they did it deliberately.
Yeah. I mean, they obviously know that they're pretty seasoned, the producers of this show. They've done a brilliant job over the years. So they must know what they're looking for.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've got no idea. Mm. Am I the comedy fodder? Am I this year's Wally? We'll find out.
Well, you probably this year's Sean Walsh. You've addressed the fact that you're doing Strictly and the curse, haven't you?
Yeah, the curse. It's not a curse, you know. But it's you know, I'm not going to comment on anyone else's situation over the years, but it's, you know, people are people at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's dancing. Personally, for me, I can't really link it to anything kind of sexual because I'm so terrified while I'm doing it. I'm thinking about my feet. I'm thinking about my face. I can't control my face. I stick my tongue out like a toddler who's colouring in. Do you know what I mean? So I think my wife's got nothing to worry about because she knows how unattractive I am to the opposite sex when I try and dance. So I think it's going to be, I think we're safe.
That's it for another podcasty thing. In fact, in that time, I just had this email coming. It just said, so glad that you're back on the Sports Bar on Monday night from 10 p.m, Andy. We've really missed you. That's very cool. No name on that one. There's another one. Andy, glad to hear you come. Anyway, they're all like that. Thousands and thousands. So I will be back on Monday night at 10 p.m. But today, I will be on Drive Time from 4 p.m. if you'd like to tune into that. Either way, thank you for downloading this one. Remember to press subscribe. If you don't press it, you won't hear the next podcast. I mean, you might if someone's playing it on the train really loudly. How annoying is that when you're sitting next to someone on the train, you can hear from their headphones. You know, turn it down. It's public transport. They can't hear you shout that, yet they can hear because their volumes. Anyway, you could probably, it doesn't matter. Just download it, right? Press subscribe. You understand. Thanks for listening. Be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from Talk Sport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.